Let's make this dog hunt. That's what they say. I believe that's an expression from Tennessee, right? I was a little bit worried about you, Ken, because I heard about the weather deaths that were happening there in Tennessee. But I figured you live in a better neighborhood than that, so the chances are it wasn't going to affect you, you
It
know?
hit the
So,
northwest side of town and kind of went up northeast into Gallatin
yep.
and that way.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Anyway, hey, welcome to Thinking Out Loud with Friends. These are our friends. I'm Jan Landy. Everything you hear today is an opinion. We're just going to be thinking out loud. I got some stories I want to cover. If you're looking at our logo, you'll see a beautiful shark. You can't see him drinking the coffee, unfortunately, but welcome to show 186. Hey, thanks for coming. I got some great news. I just got this from Google that we have had 75,000 views. 75,000 views. So
Wow.
I think that's pretty amazing. I don't know how that's possible, but it's 75,000 views. Wow. Is that not amazing?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So congratulations to all of you guys that have been part of this panel and have made it through the COVID. And here we are again now, but we're still being affected by COVID. I really think that COVID is still overwhelming everything that we do in our lives. I think that right now, COVID is back. I mean, people are catching COVID left and right still, but it's not a death sentence anymore. So it's like a common cold, Have you guys experienced that?
I haven't gotten COVID since a year and a half.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the story. I'm sticking to it. But no, like the supply chain issues, like for example, Ken and Kurt, you guys are ordering gear. When is the time frame of your expecting the gear that you ordered, and how long ago did you order it?
Getting better, but it's still like 10, 12 weeks.
I've got most of the stuff pretty quickly. There's a few things that come time. I was told today that Yamaha will be out of back order by March on everything,
Okay.
and taking orders for new stuff.
All right. And what about Meijer? When do you think that they're going to be shipping normally?
Hopefully by second quarter.
Right.
I
And
mean,
what
they've
about
caught a
Digico,
lot.
Ken?
They were never as bad as some of the companies because so much of it was, built here.
Right. Wow, you got my background. How is that possible? Unbelievable. We're like brothers. We are brothers in arms. Unbelievable. I knew that background looked familiar. You are really getting good at that photoshopping stuff.
No gigs right now. Or a few, not many gigs right now.
Or at least you're
Now,
not
wait a
using
second.
sleeping as a background.
Well, the thing is, I know it's different because that bag that's hanging there is no longer there on the left side, And plus, I got my Christmas lights up. Actually, I remember I used to go to this club in Los Angeles called the Rainbow Bar and Grill, and they had their Christmas lights up all the time. And they called them rainbow lights, not Christmas lights, So they kept them up all year round, but they called them rainbow lights. But these are just blue Christmas lights. Welcome, by the way, happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. Today is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is when it's Hanukkah is observed by Jewish families around the world. This year, the holiday is celebrated from sundown on December 7th to sundown December 15th. So, to all my Jewish friends out there, happy Hanukkah.
Festivus.
I'm going to celebrate Festivus this year. I don't know about you guys, getting my poll out.
Is also Taylor Swift's birthday. She was born in
Wow.
1989 on the 13th, and they released the movie to streaming today.
Yep.
Wow.
That's
Taylor
right.
Swift. Unbelievable.
$19 for 48 hours.
What?
Well, the rent the movie, it's $19.98 89 cents.
Right. for 48 hours.
You can go to the movies for less than that.
I don't get it. Why 48 hours?
Well, that's a streaming. It's on Prime, you know.
She wants them going to the movie theaters.
It is in the movie theaters.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's out of the movie theaters now.
Re-released into the movie theaters. My local movie theaters in Florida cut it off after the first run.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how many times people could go see the same concert over and over again, you know, unless you're trying to learn the lyrics and the dance moves. Other than that, I don't see any reason why you would want to see it more than one or two times, you know. Once was enough for me. It was good.
It might be because of Beyonce's movie and their friends. She doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is I'm looking at the production. You know, Claire Global did a damn good job.
Yeah, Tate Towers built the set. It's an impressive set. I mean, the one thing I believe that it looks like video projection on that stage, but I can't figure out I guess it must be shot from underneath, where the video projection must be coming from underneath, because I looked around and I couldn't see the theater.
They make stages that are video wall that you can walk on.
That was not video projection.
No, it's video. It's a video wall that you can walk on.
Wow, that's amazing then.
I'm sure they have clear panels over the top of an existing video wall.
Yeah, because I thought it was video projection because of the way it was. But I didn't realize that they had that now. So, you know, I just got another wrinkle in my brain. Thanks to you, Kurt. Thanks.
Well, there'd be shadows. If it was projected, there'd be shadows from everything.
Exactly. The words out of my mouth, sir.
Wherever shadow, every guitar player, whatever, it would be a mess.
Yeah, I guess you were right, and you're always right. So there you go. This is no different than any other time. You're right. Thank you for sharing that. But so did you hear it? So right now, so they just, Polestar just announced the top 10 concerts or the top 10 tours of the year, right? So check this out. The number one artist, of course, in the year was Taylor, and she did $1 billion, $1,039,263. I'll bet that impresses you that I could even read that number. Well, that's just the tour gross.
Right.
That's not anything else. That's not merchandise. That's not films. That's not anything else, you know. Kelsey Grammer's tour jerseys that she sold, whatever it is. I don't know.
It's not
what's
Kelsey
going on with that thing?
Hey.
Not Kelsey Grammer. That's funny, though.
I thought it was funny. That's why I said
Frasier.
You know, the Frasier tour shirts, you know, by the way. So
has exploded. The real Travis Kelce, his merch, his shirts and stuff, it's up like 300-400%.
Yeah, that's what they say. Plus the attendance. She's like, of course, she's Time's Woman of the Year, you know. And it's, you know, like countries are begging her to come there because of the revenue that she's generating with this tour. It's crazy.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, good on her, you know, because she's put in her dues. I remember... she played the Strawberry Festival in 2001, and hardly anybody came. Yeah, except the headliner there was Blake Shelton, and he went, holy shit, you know. So, good on her. I mean, she deserves... She's doing it right, and she deserves everything that she gets right now. She's not she's wonderful to the crew. She's wonderful to the fans. And hey, and as far
she's
as her
magnanimous,
personal life,
hey,
who cares?
She's magnanimous. She's generous. She's a philanthropist. Oh, and by the way, she's going to be on this show next week. So tell your friends to tune in.
Yeah, as you're safely entrenched in Phuket, that nobody can sue you. Yes, you can go ahead and say that publicly.
Well, just remember, everything you hear is an opinion, so do your own research. That's it. You know, and the drugs are starting to kick in right now. So, hey, you know, I'm hallucinating. What can I tell you?
Dan, in Thailand, did you see Kenny's very merry Barry show on NBC?
I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet. But, you know, when we pull out the old Christmas tree, which we've got now, you know, we'll sit down and we'll, Bo and I will watch the show, you know, with great anticipation. You know, that's
I have a question for Kenny as a FOH. I mean, how do you get a mic without so much ambience down at the second button of the lapel?
Well, that is one of the problems that he has with the show, is that when Barry likes to hold the mic low. It is.
I watched a little bit of it, and I was impressed that the guy in the remote truck was able to make it as clean as it was. It really didn't sound like that much leakage. I watched maybe 20 minutes of it, but I've talked to him. He actually has sent me some recordings where you can hear how much he's got to struggle to keep the room out of that mic.
Right. You see, I mean, obviously, gates are involved.
Well, the whole band was behind Plexi.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think that was normal. I think that was done for TV, probably because of that thing.
Right.
Well, I don't for think the recording, Plexi, they were not for happy. TV, yeah.
Well, because it was on TV, they put them behind Plexi because they weren't going to be able to get any sound out of that mic without it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what.
Everything was behind Plexi.
You guys talk amongst yourself. I'll call Kenny on the phone, get him to join the show.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
All I'm saying is what I would have done, Kurt, I don't know whether you would have. I would have suggested maybe, hey, just wear this, you know, little, you know, bejeweled button on your lapel.
Yep.
You know, and
did anyone use a primary source enhancer?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Ken.
He doesn't wear lab, though. I asked him about that. He won't do it. But that or a mic in his hair, you know, like Broadway.
No.
Finally got him to use in-ears. Just imagine what it was like with monitor speakers.
The other question I have is how did they pick up the choir?
Okay, you know. So I got some news for you. Kenny is working right this second with Manilow, but he said he would jump in as soon as possible.
Yeah, I was wondering about the choir.
But the girls' choir at the end, David, I was sitting there like going, okay, there's got to be some platform mics. And I was like going, yeah, okay.
Or pre-record.
Yeah.
Well, this is really exciting, and we could have now anticipation of what the answers are going to be as soon as Kenny gets in the room. So stick around. Okay, and now a word from our sponsor, Greg Baker.
now a word from our sponsor, KISS, has had a four-day world retirement. I already told that, Jan, you take it off. I teed it up for you.
Yeah, but you remember I talked about it last week when we were talking about that KISS retired, right? They retired, and the last show, as they got off the stage, they had their avatars playing, and I said, that's going to be a perfect environment for the Sphere. And now you're telling me that they're actually talking about that?
No. Dave announced yesterday, look at Night Bob's post, Robert G., well, you know Night Bob's real name. They've announced a four-year, this is really it tour. You know, as if we'll believe it. And then their avatars are going to open for them on the final show. And then They will open for their avatars at the Sphere for a 4-year residency.
And I made that up last week. So you see, do your own research. What you think that's really true?
Well, it's Gene Simmons. Come on.
He must have been listening to the show, got the idea from me. I love it, you know.
Well, why don't you get a cut? Kenny's in the house.
Yes, Ken Newman is in the house. His ears were burning, especially when he picked up the phone. And it was, you know, his phone was by a heater. And so his ears were burning when he picked up the phone. So there you have it. But as soon as he could talk, I'm sure he will.
Where are the Christmas decorations? Oh, there they are.
Okay. Listen,
there it is. Where's that sweater, Kenny? Where's that sweater that you've become famous wearing?
No.
So he can't talk. Evidently, he can't talk because there must be some sort of. I don't see rehearsal going on though.
I don't have enough hands to make this happen.
So enough hands. You're not Ganesh. You know, you need to be more like Ganesh. Many hands.
Systems guy.
Yeah, where is he? He's gone.
Where is your systems guy?
Yeah,
he left. He took a guy.
Bring in the systems guy. Come on.
Okay, one question at a time. Who wants to go first?
I do.
Go ahead.
How do you deal with second button down lapel, Mike?
Oh, you mean in the show in general?
Yeah, vocal. Yeah, we all saw Very Merry. And
just turn it up here. Turn it up until it feeds back and then turn it down a little bit. and you ring it out a lot and you have a Yamaha 5045 on there, and you have a whatever else I have on there, and some really wacky EQ and a channel of a lake on that mic, and on the bus as well to narrowly take out some offending frequencies and stuff, and then you hope for the best.
So the truck got a split version that didn't have any of your processing on it, though, right?
Of course. Yeah. No, they took it right off the preamps. Yeah.
Is all that plexi normally there?
Yeah, the plexi is so that is because his mic is so sensitive to his. I mean, it's pretty loud in his ears, and it's pretty bright. It's got a lot of high end added, and it's and his ears are only mid and high drivers anyway. So anything bright coming into his mic is really annoying. And so the monitor guy requires plexi in front of everything that's going to be annoying through the mic. And that includes like trumpets and trombones and saxophones and percussion and drums.
I thought maybe they added that just for the shoot, but I guess not.
No.
Well, that helps you.
And we don't even have it in front of the saxophones or the bones. It's only in front of the trumpets. So, McCallum.
What about the, Kenny, can I ask you about miking the child's choir?
Okay. Well, can I tell you the secret?
Yeah.
Well, you probably saw the pre-recorded shotguns. You saw the shotguns, right? So the shotguns are there to pick up the kids for the PA for the show. But I warned the guy that was doing the air mix, you know, the broadcast mix, that those shotguns are not going to be very useful for him.
Right,
because it's going to be a lot, everything else in there just as loud, if not louder, than the kids singing. So he took the kids down to their dressing room with a couple microphones and his and we made a track that was going to be exactly the track that they sang, you know, like the band that they sang to. And they sang, and he recorded them and put it in there. Pretty good, right?
I tell you what, it was brilliant, but, you know, I just said, wait a minute, there aren't any field microphones on the floor. I saw a couple of shotguns, but I went, that ain't
good. Shotguns are just the purpose for the shotguns is to create an illusion for the live audience that they're actually hearing those singers.
Well, yeah, they're going to be hearing them off the stage anyways, you know.
Not over the noise that is our show, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's pretty loud, the show. Pretty noisy.
But anyway, I think what Greg is saying, I think if I might interrupt here a little bit, I think what Greg was saying is you should have hired him as the human mic stand with a parabolic.
Oh, yeah.
That quote. That's what he's saying. I got it.
He could have dressed up like a kid and held the microphone.
Yeah, one of those big things with little mini parabolics, and I could be a stilt on stage. Yeah. You know,
actually, we could have had you on stage, little beard, little Santa action. No. There you go.
One of the things that we considered doing was miking some of the kids.
Yeah.
Actually giving them lavalier mics, you know, wireless lavalier mics.
Did the soloist have a mic, the little soloist kid?
The kid, the boy? No, he just used Barry's mic.
Wow.
He was coming into Barry's mic.
That's a hot mic. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Barry does not sing particularly close, as you noticed. He also does not sing particularly loudly either. So, that mic is very hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah.
But that kid, that little kid was a ham. That was great. That was the highlight of the show for us.
He was into it. He was bopping and singing.
Yeah, and stamping his foot. And then he waved when he finished his part. It was great. That kid was into it. Somebody's trying to get in touch with him right now to be his agent.
Yeah, I heard he lost a lot of money at the tables right afterwards too.
Yeah,
I heard he dropped his salary right there on the crap table, right there, right in front of the showroom.
Where's Jim Anderson? Have him come say hi.
Hey Jim, you got a minute to come over here? All right, some people want to say hi to you.
Well, at any rate, Kenny, from if it means anything to you, which it may or may not, props. Good mix.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, I didn't have anything to do with that mix, but I do it nightly.
You got to understand. I understand the mechanics underneath and what you're dealing with, and the reason why you have a sidecar.
Right. Yep.
Well, the thing is even though you didn't have anything to do with the mix, you did all the you did all the placement of the microphones. You basically set up all the feeds. I mean, so basically, the only thing you didn't do is move the faders around and turn the knob pots. But other than that,
these preamps.
That consequential stuff.
The guy that did the mix really crafted it. In other words, you know, it's post, you know, so they have time to go over every track and make sure it sounds just right. And so there's Jim now. Say hi to David Dansky and the gang.
Oh, hello.
Let's see.
Bert legend.
Microphone.
Tell you what, I'll put it like this so that everybody can see. We'll all wave to Jim.
Actually, if I just put this.
Can't hear yet. Kenny's got his ears in.
There you go. I think my ear.
Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing, David?
Hey, an Engelbert legend. Spent more time with Engelbert than all of us put together.
God bless you.
Yeah. Weren't you Engelbert's first sound guy in the U.S.?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
Not by a long way.
Oh, wow.
I did him for 6 years.
6 years, that's longer than most people,
yeah.
Right?
Longer than anybody.
Yeah.
That was a lot of alcohol and drugs you had to use there to stay, you know, to stay sane.
And not only that, but he was mixing monitors in front of house for most of it.
Were you?
Not for the first three years.
Yeah. Wow. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, that's right. That's a legend right there.
Jim Anderson.
There I am, yeah.
Yep. By the way, this is being broadcast. This isn't just these.
Well, that means so Jim, that means you have to be over 5'8", right? Because you fired everybody under 5'8".
Okay, yeah.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Jim's been at the McCallum Theater for like 25 years or something.
35
years.
Okay. That's
35. Wow.
Props. Yeah, this is his place. When he leaves, they're gonna have to close it. Yep, pretty great.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, happy holiday to you, Jim. Merry Christmas.
Well, same to you. Thank you.
Do you know Jan?
No.
That's Jan Landy.
I think we've had some conversations over the years if you've been in the Theater for that.
It's in Seattle area.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I don't know Roland, but Roland's here.
Rolo was my college roommate.
Headquarters in Nashville.
Okay.
In New Mexico.
Oh, nice.
It's cold and snowy tonight.
Oh, how nice.
Well, you keep it. Florida.
Definitely not snowy here. Palm Springs, wherever we are.
Yeah.
But there you go.
So, right, so well, Ken, I have a question.
A legendary sound guy, Jim Anderson, in the flesh.
Very, very good.
Okay, well, I got to run. Nice meeting you guys. Good to see
now,
you,
is Jim working? Is Jim working now at the Westgate?
No, we're at the McCallum.
Oh, you're in McCallum. Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Cool. David knows what we're doing. But
is that the Symphony Hall?
Jan, by the way, is in Thailand.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
that's where he lives now.
Is that the Symphony Hall, too? Is McCallum also the Symphony Hall?
No.
It's a multi-purpose venue. It holds about 1,100 people. It's 35 years old.
I was there. I think we did Bugs Bunny on Broadway there in
1991
or 92.
Yeah.
And Chuck Jones came out and was backstage signing autograph and drawing pictures on napkins for people.
It's still there. We put a piece of plexiglass over it to preserve it.
That's great.
Yep. And I remember the night that I was in one of the booths off the house right, mixing on the floor there. And right next to me was this elderly lady in red hair, and it was Ginger Rogers.
Yeah. She used to come and see a bunch of shows.
Yep. So, yeah, it was. I've been in your theater.
Okay, there you cool. Go.
See that?
Yep. Well, I was here.
I know this place.
I've been there too. Did Greg McVeigh used to work there?
Who?
Greg McVeigh.
Greg McVeigh.
No, I don't know.
No.
Because I came at the beginning of the second season, and the guy before me was like a New York TV utility truck guy who couldn't mix.
Greg was
well,
still.
Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, well, nice seeing you guys. Got her on.
Okay,
bye. Bye. Thanks, Ken.
So yeah, I'll show you the theater.
That was fun.
See the theater.
Wow.
The seating area. So, and this is the mixed position has got to be one of the more, I don't know, what would you call it, unique
challenge.
I don't know if you can see that's the orchestra level.
Right.
Then it goes up, and there's the balcony up there. I'm not sure what you're seeing.
But nothing is very far from the stage. That's the beauty of McCallum, is that the people in Palm Springs have this amazing theater. The backstage is huge. It can do any kind of show, and yet everybody's sitting close to the stage. That's money. That's what money buys you.
There's these shows that we're doing here are all charity shows. He donates all the proceeds from these shows to his favorite charities here. And I don't know if you can see the PA. The PA is like sunken in the wall over there. And I can't even see the PA on my side. But this is an interesting vantage point from which to mix, because I don't really get the room. I'm outside the PA.
But it seems like you're on to the left side of it, or the left side.
Left side of the house. I'm on the left side of the house, and I'm, now I've done it.
And the house and the front of house is on the right side of the house.
The other front of house is opposite me. Yeah, if you go over there, those lights
the
up there.
Right? Those
lights over there are Jim's booth over there.
Right.
Sit him. Yeah.
Do you got a smart mic in the middle, Kent?
No, I have a smart mic right here.
Yeah.
But I just, you can't see it because it's so dark in here, but I have a near field monitor that is tuned to sound just like the PA, and it brings the sound a little closer to me. So, and I can, get an idea of what it sounds like in the room a little bit more.
Very, very cool.
Not my favorite place to mix, because it's you're not getting the whole effect of the whole sound system. You're only getting like half of it.
Right. And what is the speaker system comprised of?
Oh, they're JBL VTX H12s or something like that. And for the left and right. And then he's got custom made or something like that, JBL front fills that have been here a long time, but they're just perfect. And let's see if I can show you those. No, it's too.
He has like a Soundcraft V6000 or something, right?
Right, that's what he has, yeah. And then the center cluster, there's a center cluster up there behind the proscenium that was a component center cluster, I think, left over from the 80s maybe. That still sounds okay. So he's not going to change it. Why would you change it, right?
Yep. Just are you delaying or just?
Yeah. Well, he has delay built into everything there.
Okay.
And I have my front fill. I mean, my near field delayed accordingly to it. Look, and Will's testing out the microphone.
All right.
So, see, listen to that.
Well, very good. Well, that was interesting. And informative, to say the least. And
yeah, to all those watching, this is how gigs work, you know, right?
How's that, Greg?
Let's like, give Will a little more credit. What's you know? Talk us a little bit about Will. You know,
Will is the best monitor guy for this gig. That's for sure.
Does Will have a last name, or does he just go by Will? Is he that famous?
Last name is Will I Am. No, he is William Miller is his name.
Yeah.
He's from New Jersey, and he was
give him some credit.
He got brought onto this gig around the same time I came back to this gig, which was in 2012 when Barry was at a loss for who to get to mix his monitors. And so he called Josh Groban and said, "Hey, Josh, do you have a monitor guy that I can borrow?" Yeah. And because he was thinking Josh Groban is a kind of a younger guy that does sort of the same thing he does. He sings, he plays piano, right? So let's see what his guy would do. And so he said, yeah, you can borrow him. Well, he's still on loan from Josh Groban.
Right. He
11
stole.
Years later. So anyway, that's how that started. And Will does really great because of two things. Not only is he an excellent sound guy and he can react to any situation really well, any request, but he also never gets flustered by anything Barry requests or anybody requests. He just goes, "Oh, okay," and does it, or does what he thinks is right, you know. But right. never. I mean, if I had his gig, I would definitely have spoken back to the people that do the requesting, because I would have said, "Wait, 5 minutes ago you said you it was perfect, and now what do you want?" You know, or 5 minutes ago you said you wanted more bass and now you want more treble. What? Come on.
Yeah.
So I would have.
Well, you got to be a psychologist to be a monitor guy.
That's the funny thing. Well, there you go. You know what Will's degree is in?
Psychology.
Yes. Yeah. Georgetown University, I think.
Yeah. So, now you had me fooled. I thought it was car mechanics. Oh, well.
That's a prerequisite for being a monitor mixer is to have a degree in psychology.
That's pretty perfect, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's absolutely true. I mean, I, as a monitor guy, I was hired, given a bonus for one gig, next gig, fired, kick him off the tour, next gig, hire, give him a double bonus, you know, and it went on and on, you know, until I said, nope. I just want a hump gear.
were you doing Anita Baker at that time?
Oh.
Now,
I was going to bring that up.
I did Anita Baker for a while, for a house, of course, but during a time when she was very nice. She was super nice to us,
right.
Which is rare, I hear, but she was super nice.
Right. Must have been before my gig with her.
When was your gig?
I don't know, about 7-8 years ago. Fired the monitor guy right in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I saw a video recording of a show like that where she fired the monitor guy and just told him to leave it, and it was ringing, constant ringing during her performance, and nobody was doing anything about it because they were fired.
Well, she had fired the front of house guy in Portland the night before.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So halfway through, so the production manager was babysitting an existing mix on an XL4. She demanded Meyer, wouldn't use anything else, which is why I was there.
Uh-huh.
And, the whole thing, we had to bring in the brand new mic cable, and she had to watch it get opened and unwrapped. And it,
oh my goodness.
You couldn't hit the split. It had to go through the monitor console, be sent line level down its own cable to front of house.
Oh, really?
I don't know why that was either, but she fired the monitor guy, and I stepped up near the monitor console just so that someone would be close in case something happened. And then the production manager said, if you know what's good for you, you won't get within 30 feet of that thing.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah. I don't know what she, so can I tell you a quick story about how great she was to me? You've heard this story though, right, Jan?
I've heard it, but now you're talking to the world because you could write a book about this. So this is our segment. You should write a book.
This would be my December, 1994 chapter. And it's where I was working for Anita Baker, and we played at the Universal Amphitheater. It was a multi-night gig, like maybe, what, five nights or something, right? And we had already been on the road for a couple months with her. And it was, again, it was a Meyer system, and it was all, like, supported by Meyer. Like, Jamie Anderson and Mark Johnson were always there with us. That's when they worked for Meyer. And anyway, so we're at the Universal Amphitheater, and Jamie Anderson is my sim guy. Okay, if that tells you anything. Well, you guys know that, Jamie Anderson as the smart guy. Before he did smart, he worked for Meyer, and he was very involved in their sim system. Anyway, so my regular sim guy had to go back to his other gig, and that's a long story. But the point is, Jamie was my sim guy. He had it tuned up really nice. It sounded really ballsy, really great. So then after the second show at that Universal Amphitheater, or maybe it was after the first one. Anyway, there was a review in the LA Times, and the review was what I would call scathing. And I would call it 75% about how bad the sound was. Okay. So it went on and on about, oh, if they could only turn the sound down, or if they only fix the sound, you know, probably at least three of the major long sentences were about how bad it sounded. Okay. So my conclusion from that was, I'm going to get fired tonight. There's no way I'm still having this gig. Right. So I go to the gig, and it was a local gig for me. I just drive to the gig, and I get set up, and I go, and I see she's down on the stage getting ready for the evening. And she's just walking around the stage, just getting comfortable. And I go down to her. I say, oh, I'm really sorry about that review. And what does she say? She goes, oh, what review? I was like, you know, the review in the LA Times. And she's like, well, I don't know. I don't read those reviews. That doesn't mean anything to me. And she motions to the front rows and says, these are my reviewers right here, these people in the front row. Don't worry about any reviews. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Thank you. And
that's cool for an artist.
That was super cool, because she had every right to fire me based on that review. I'll have to show it to you sometime. But it was really shocking to me that, you know, somebody, especially with her reputation for firing people on a whim, that she would not react to the review that way. So I thought that was really generous of her. I never actually got fired. I actually went to work for Julio Iglesias before they had a chance to fire me. I'm sure I would have gotten fired eventually, but I didn't get fired. I actually quit the gig and went on to work for Julio.
Yeah, I got.
I like your wishful thinking.
Warwick. The same issue, you know, a bad review in the London, something in London, you know, from Hammersmith Odeon, Dionne Warwick. So she said, okay, you can go with me to Jordan. And the entire band and crew got stranded there because she didn't like the gig, and her and her manager left.
Wow.
And we were stranded for 2 weeks while the promoter sold off the entire PA, all the band's gear, everything, so he can make his money back.
Wow.
That's egregious.
Well,
Greg, where was it?
Beirut.
Oh.
Oh, wait, Beirut? What?
Yeah. Beirut, 1983, just before the bombing, where everything went wacko.
Wow.
So hey, David, you work for Dionne Warwick too.
I can talk with you guys forever, but I got to go get something to eat before the show.
All right,
great seeing you guys.
All right, thanks for sharing. We'll talk to you later.
Kenny, and great gig.
See you, Kenny.
That was Kenny Newman, ladies and gentlemen, from Very Barry Christmas that was on, I believe, CBS. I think that's what it was.
No, NBC.
NBC. There you have it. Thanks a lot. Just remember, do your own research. Okay, that's an opinion. Didn't you work for Dionne Warwick too, Dave, for a while?
Yeah, 83. I worked with her in 83. She wasn't carrying a house guy. She was only carrying me for monitors.
Did you do Beirut? No, you didn't. No, I was there with IES.
We did all over Europe, but not
Middle East.
Yeah, no, I had my issues with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, who didn't? Anyway.
But she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so we can't say anything wrong.
By the way, did she ever do an encore when you were with her?
She never showed up for the gig. Her manager were on a plane while the support band was doing. It was on a beach, you know, and downtown Beirut, you know. You know, have you been to Beirut, David?
No.
Oh. Yeah,
they don't do cruises there, Greg.
Huh?
Who were you working for?
Cruises there, Greg.
Yeah,
they don't do cruises. Who were you working for that got you the gig?
IES. IES was before, Tasco. Before, actually, they were way before everybody in Europe. I mean, before Martin. It was
London company, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that tied in with Ricky Farr? Did he have a piece of that?
Who?
Ricky Farr.
Don't talk to me about Ricky. Okay. It was me and Graham Holmes. You know, Graham's now with Carrie. It was bad. I mean, they took all our passports, the crew and the backing band. They took all their instruments, everything. And the promoter sold them off. And 4 days later, we were put on a plane, back to London.
So
there you go.
Did Dion pay anybody for their equipment?
Nope.
Didn't think so.
Nope. Yeah.
And so we have another episode of You Should Write a Book About That. That's it.
Dionne Warwick never did an encore. She walked off the stage. She said, that's it. I've given them what they want. And that's it. It's over. And so she never did an encore, except we were in Paris and the Parisians didn't want to leave. And they kept stomping and stamping. And it went on for so long that she had to come out or there was going to be a riot. And she had her street clothes on. And the band had to be pulled in from the bus one at a time. And then she did an encore. But that was the Parisians. So I was in an almost riot.
David, what I hate in those days is if you were on the stage and you were a crew member, everybody in the front row was spitting at you. They were gobbing at you. You're putting tape down, duct tape down on mics, everything like that. And, I finally got a full suit and I was out there and they were just gobbing at you. I mean, it was horrible.
In the U.S.?
No, in Paris.
Oh, in Paris. France.
Yeah, at the Abattoir. Or, name the theater.
Now, did they allow smoking in the theaters in Paris at that time?
No, in the lobby, not in the, in where the seats were, no. But huge lobbies, yeah.
Yeah, because Paris, France, all of France just banned smoking. They can't smoke on the beaches. They can't smoke in public parks.
Wow.
They're going to be tobacco free. They want it by 2032. France wants to be completely tobacco free as a nation. I find that almost impossible to believe.
Yeah, because
I thought when somebody was born in France, they gave them a soccer ball and a pack of cigarettes for the crib. That's what I thought.
No, jetons. Not a pack of Marlboros, jetons. Oh,
there you go.
They have it. Smelling cigarettes. I'm sorry. To the people who smoke jetons, good luck with you. But they stink to me. personally. Well,
so that way, so in case you hadn't seen the logo of the show, that is the shark smoking. But I could see that there where that's the cigarettes cut off from the shark, Dina, unfortunately. But oh well, that's the way life goes. So the other thing that shark was supposed to think is just so you know the shark logo, and I want to Mark Cuban is leaving Shark Tank. And so that's why the shark is in the logo, you know? So those are the stories.
Yeah, there's all sorts of rumors about that.
Well, he's so
yeah, what do you hear? Well,
me?
Yeah, what do you hear with the rumor? I mean, hey,
well, no, there's rumors that he has political aspirations. There's rumors that he wants to buy, another bigger sports franchise. You know,
well, he just sold it to the people that the Adelsons who owned, the Sands. You know, the
Mrs.
Widow of,
Adelsons.
Sheldon. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Who That's... also sold. Almost a third of her stakes in the Venetian, in whatever that corporation is, to go ahead and get the cash to buy it, correct?
That's right, Greg. And just remember, it is Mrs. Adelson to you. That's it. You know, don't you forget that.
Well, maybe he's going to take over the Dodgers after they spent, what, $750 million for a player? They stole from the Angels.
Is that not crazy?
No, no.
Is that not crazy? $70 million a year they're going to pay him for 10 years. I thought that was outrageous.
It's deferred. He's only making $10 million deferred, $740 million.
Right.
And I think they stole him from Toronto.
No, the Angels.
Stole from the Angels.
Okay.
It's a brilliant move. Because the sports teams are only allowed to spend so much on new players. So instead of giving him $70 million a year, by his suggestion, they're giving him, Greg said 10, I thought it was less, but $10 million a year. And therefore the Dodgers have $8 million more they can spend on other players. He gets all the money later on.
I'm surprised he didn't do a deal where he basically was given interest in the team, like $700 million worth of the team.
Yeah, stock. Yeah.
And the team is going to make out really well. It sounds like a lot of money, but they're going to make so much more because of him. It's going to work out great.
Well, first of all, there's a huge Japanese population in Los Angeles, and it's a tourist area for them. Oh. So the attendance is going to increase. Without a doubt. Plus, the guy could hit, he could field, and he could pitch. Yeah. You know, so what more do you want?
It's the international market they're going after too now.
Yep. But see, when they were in Anaheim, I was there one time when they were playing at home, and there were people coming into the hotel carrying the shopping bags. Asian people that had been to the game came over for all three games a weekend and shopped, and they were just enamored with it.
Yeah, they're going to make a fortune.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? I mean, you know, whatever sport there is, I mean, you talk about all the big player moves and European, what we call in the U.S. soccer, it's football there, and right. The millions of dollars. And then here is the big guy from Argentina, Messi, you know, coming to Miami, making a gazillion dollars with a nobody team and, you know, just sit back and loving it.
That is a lot of money, a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
It's more than a billion dollars.
Yeah, how many zeros is in a gazillion? I don't know, but that's crazy.
It's...
Well, that's Taylor's next goal, to get to a gazillion. You know, her next tour is going to be called the Gazillion Tour, you know?
We're talking about how much money she makes. She just donated to a food bank in San Francisco or somewhere up there, enough for 500,000 meals for a month.
And she just donated to the people in north of Nashville, a friend of mine, And actually, you may know him, Jan Graham.
Yeah.
He's with Carrie. You know, their houses were hurt by the tornado or the last thing. And she just said, oh, give $1 million for this, that, you know.
Well, just and remember when she's here next week, Greg, part of the episode, she told me that people could come to her on this show and ask for money. If you have a good cause. So just remember, tune in next week to ask Taylor Swift for money if you need money. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Right. And if everybody believes that, please remember that this show is an opinion, not fact.
Yeah. Actually, the reality is that this leads into the word of the year, which is hallucinate. You know, it's the dictionary.com's word of the year is hallucinate. And no, you're not imagining things. It is hallucinate. But the reality is the online reference of this means, and I'll read it to you, to produce false information contrary to the intent of the user and present it as if it's true and factual. In other words, when it's a chatbot or AI tools confidently making up stuff. So there you go. You can hallucinate right with me right now as if I think Taylor Swift is going to be on this show next week. And you will be too.
Well, per your definition, I would say that it is spot on for the U.S. political infrastructure, put it that way.
Yeah. You know, I don't normally talk about politics, but there is one guy that I got to talk about, and that is George Santos. This guy is the gift that keeps giving. So now he's kicked out of Congress, and what does he do? He goes on Camo. I think it's called Cameo. Is that what it is? Where people can
Cameo? Keep, yeah,
yeah. You know what it is, Roland? Do you know what it is, Sam? Cameo? Have you heard of it?
Celebrities record greetings for you.
Right. So I believe it was Jimmy Kimmel. He made up these letters that he sent it out. Was it Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And he wrote these fictitious, you know, letters that he wanted George to say, he wanted to say that he wanted to congratulate his daughter. She was legally blind, but she got her driver's license, you know. And then there was one about a furry. Anyway, it's hilarious that this guy has sunk to that level of making cameo videos.
He made more money already than he made last year in Congress.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny? He put John Lovitz back on Saturday Night Live to do him a couple times.
Well, that would be great. By the way, on a sadder note, Denny Lane passed away. Has anybody had any personal experience with Denny? I really only had one show with Denny, and I really didn't get to know him very well. Did anybody in the room have any kind of relationship with him?
Yeah, 76 Wings Tour. He was such a nice guy. He would eat with the crew, you know, and at that time, you didn't have 80 people, 150 people on the crew. No, you had like 25, 30, and he would sit down and, you know, Paul and Linda were out, and we'd all sit down and just cut up. He was a really nice guy. On stage, if you were involved with monitors or anything like that, he would wait till the end of the song and say, hey, you know, can you bring up a little bit of this and that? And it was great. He was a wonderful human being and, you know, a soul to be missed.
Well, anyway, so we you know, he was a talented musician, very talented guitarist. Another person that died this week, Ryan O'Neill. Now, I bring that up. I mean, Ryan has, I don't think he's done anything in a while, right? Anybody, everybody know who he is? The actor? Well, yes. Well, I was working for Dave Mason, and it was early in my career. I was more or less a roadie mule. I was the one who was holding the drugs. By the way, everything here is an opinion. Some of this stuff might be made up that's going on right now. This might be complete fabrication on my behalf, just so you know. But anyway, so I was working for Dave Mason and as a roadie. And we did the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. It was the last show. And then we went, Dave had a party at his house. And Dave had a very unusual house at the time. I don't know if anybody had ever been there. But he had like a mansion in Malibu. But it was only one room. It was one room. It was huge. It was like the size of a warehouse. And then at the other end of the room, he had a staircase going up. And that was his bedroom. And it overlooked this whole huge like warehouse or airplane hangar. And because it was so huge, the kitchen was on one side of the room. The living room was like all over the place. And the furniture was overstuffed. It was like oversized. So I was sitting on the couch, and the couch was so big that my back was against the cushions on the back. But my body was like in an L shape. It was like because the couch was so big, you to have your feet draped over the couch, you'd have to sit at the very, very front of the couch. So I'm sitting on the back of the couch and my feet are in an L shape, and I'm sitting by the side of the couch where the arm of the couch is. And this is an important part of the story. And it's my first experience in Hollywood of a Hollywood party, and there's people and they're dancing. And I look over and I see this old guy, you know, at this time I'm like, you know, in my early 20s. And I see this old guy dancing with this young girl. It could have been 13. And I'm saying, man, I've made it. This is Hollywood. This is the way I imagined it, you know? And, they finish dancing and the old guy comes over to me and he sits on the couch arm and he's above me and I'm down there. I'm kind of, and he starts talking to me and he says, blah, blah, blah. You work for Dave? And I say, yeah. And he holds out his hand and I reach up and I shake his hand and he's got a hearty handshake, you know, really he grabs my hand and he looks me in the eyes. I'm looking him in the eyes and he says to me, hi, I'm Ryan. And at that very moment in time, I realized that that wasn't a pervert. That was Tatum's father, Ryan O'Neal. And he was holding my hand, was my first super celebrity because Love Story was like huge at that point in time. I hadn't seen it, but I knew that this guy was a major celebrity. And my eyes must have gone like they were. And he pulled his hand away from me and just left. But that was my first experience with a major celebrity. So there you go.
At that point, is that when Mason put out the party tapes, the limerick party tapes with limericks on them?
I don't remember that. No, it was just before Certified Live tour.
Oh well, there had been a tape, whatever. I remember in early 70s, whatever of. Mason Williams party tape. And it was
no Mason Williams. Williams, that's Dave Mason, not Matt Mason Williams.
Okay, sorry.
That's well, all right. Close. When what makes no difference.
Were you at the really? Mason Williams party tape?
Yeah, no. I've heard it, Ken. And
how about the Musco thing?
Yeah.
What's the famous line in Love Story? Does anybody remember?
Love means never, whatever.
Never
love means never to say you're sorry.
Yeah.
There you
being
go.
In love, well, then you haven't been in a relationship like I've been.
Speaking of relationships, Jan, when are you getting married? You've been betrothed for quite some time.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. We can't get married here in Thailand. If we get married in Thailand, then her visa will be extended and we want to go back to the United States. So right now, as soon as we get her visa, we'll be going to the United States. And within 3 months of going to the United States, we'll either be married or separated. So there you go. It's simple as that. You know, So I am looking
it's kind of I just want to say that y'all going to your home in Las Vegas of all places, you know, after what all you said, is people go to Las Vegas to get married, and then, you know, but I think between the two of y'all, you know, it's pretty cool. I think you're going to last a long time, and God bless the both of you.
Well, I think that I think that I could share this, that yesterday I just got, you know, I mean, Bo is in the other room right now doing whatever she does, but, you know, she's an amazing woman to me. I've never been loved more by another human being or any other, my dog didn't love me as much as Bo loved me. I mean, you know, I'm surprised that when I come home, she doesn't pee on the floor. Really, seriously. You know, she's so excited to see me. It's amazing that, you know, that she can control herself.
Dan.
I'm serious. Yeah. That's, you know, like true, you know, like, you're like, you know, that's unbelievable love. Like your dog gets so excited. At least my dog used to get so excited like that, where the dog would, you know, it couldn't control
himself. Change the analogy, please. Next.
All right. Well, I meant it in a very loving way, that the dog loves me. She loves me more than anyone, anything, anybody, anyone has ever loved me. I've never been loved like this before. And yesterday, you know, basically she texted me this, and I'm going to share it with you because I think it's beautiful. The two of us are one family. We will take care of each other like this for the rest of our lives. I love you. And that, just out of the clear blue sky to get a text like that, just is amazing. So, yeah. And cool. I didn't mean any disrespect in regards to that, Greg. And I want to be really clear with this. The most love that you can get from any kind of anything on the planet, and that's why dog is man's best friend, is because you know, no matter what it is, if you walk out of the room and you walk back into the room and the dog sees you, the dog is so excited because a dog doesn't have any concept of time. But
friendly
in reality,
suggestion,
it's pure,
when you're
it's
public.
Pure love.
Dan, what if that text was actually meant for the dog?
Ah, well, it could be because we don't have a dog. I'm just saying that I've never been loved
suggestion,
more.
Is lead with the first. You know, you buried the lead. Reverse it.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I didn't mean to bury the lead. I've never been loved. I thought I said, and we could go back into the tape. I thought I've said I've never been loved by another human being more.
I know.
Or as a matter of fact, even my dog. And Lucky, if you knew me, Lucky and I were inseparable, you know, and I thought Lucky was my soul dog, you know. Anybody who knew me while I had Lucky for 13 years, that dog and I were inseparable, and he loved me unconditionally. But like I said, Bo loves me more than even Lucky loved me, and it's hard to believe.
Can I say something to Jan?
Yeah.
We need to wake up Roland because he just yawned while you were just saying that.
Well, shit, we've been here for an hour and 5 minutes. So I think, you know, I can't blame him for wanting to pass out. Maybe he wants to eat. I don't know. Maybe he wants to play with his dog. Maybe he wants to, you know,
what's going on with you, Roland?
Love of his life.
Yep. The love of my life is on her way, and, we'll be having dinner soon, and both my other loves are right here, right on the floor, with a nice fireplace going on. So that's my story.
Where are you located, Roland?
We're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, right against the Sandy Mountains. Very, very nice area, but
God bless you.
A nice city.
Okay. Well, we're at that point yes, Greg.
I know we're over time, and you're going to ask.
No. There's no such thing as over time.
Dina hasn't said a word during all this.
How do you know she's here?
Well, but she's not, isn't she?
She might be sleeping. Oh, no. Well, Tina, is there anything you'd like to say? before we say goodbye.
You just clicked that. I saw that. Hey, so,
Tina, have you been to the go-kart track in Vegas yet?
No, I haven't yet.
I want to know that we have
she's Ferrari there. Go-karts. She speaks. She speaks, ladies and gentlemen.
I have to go check it out if they have Ferrari go-karts.
I wonder if they have the Ferrari go-karts or whether they have other types.
Oh, I have to go check it out. I'm excited.
Kurt, are you in corporate land or are there any? Don't you have holiday
games? I'm in Tampa.
Like,
can't you tell?
Huh?
We're in Tampa.
Greg, I think he's in your living room. Look to the left. Look to your left.
If you're in Tampa, you know.
I'm right next to you on the couch.
What I don't understand, and Kurt, maybe you could explain, how do you get Greg out of the picture to be able to steal his background?
I waited for you to get up and go get a drink, then I screenshot it.
There you go. Good idea. Anyway.
Now, Kurt is a background ninja. That's what he is.
So. That's for sure. So do you know if Scoble is doing the back lounge this week? Anybody know?
I got the email yet.
Yeah, I think he will. He's home. So if he doesn't, well, shame on him.
I'll try to come tomorrow or the next day, 2 days, Friday. Thursday. It's Friday at 4:20, right? 420 right. being the synonym for drugs, right? Is that what it is, marijuana?
No, it's just a time in Phoenix, you know.
It's Hitler's birthday.
Who is?
All right. Nobody's birthday.
It's his birthday, 420.
Oh. No, 420, I believe, is synonymous with smoking marijuana. If I remember correctly.
Well, I tell you what, 420 is the 420-24 is the opening date for Chesney store at Raymond James Stadium. And
there you go.
I'm working.
Buy your tickets early. Buy your tickets early is what I say. Anybody want to say anything before we say goodbye to the people in the social media world?
Well, do you want to know how 420 became synonymous with time to get high?
Sure.
Two guys, Dana Point, I'm pretty sure it was Dana Point in California, used to want to get high after school. And they had a gang. And they decided that 420 was late enough after school finished that they could finish all their extracurricular activities and then get together to get high. And so they just used to call it 420, 420. And from that little acorn, the giant oak has grown that the whole world knows 420.
There you go.
Well, I miss our Australian
the Waldos.
Participant.
Where's that again, Tina?
Where's Cornflakes today? He didn't show up.
Wayne didn't show up today, but he'll be here next week. I'm sure he's busy. Otherwise, he would be here. He loves the show. He lives for it. As a matter of fact, you know, he loves you guys, and he loves being part of it. And I think he's funny and in his own right. So I miss him today, but he will be back next week.
He's probably busy programming his ribbage.
Well, he said he was working this week. He wouldn't be here this week, last week.
That's good. At least somebody's paying attention to what Wayne says. That's a good thing. Thanks,
Ken. I was sleeping last week.
So, Ken, is there anything you want to talk about before we say goodbye?
I don't know. I just got stuff to do, get ready for Christmas, get things in and out, and I'm going to run away. I probably won't be here next week because I got to pack, but I'm going to go out with the girls for a week on a cruise. So get out of
where are you going? Tell us about the cruise.
I'm going down Mexico and Belize and some other place. Basically, it's not going to be home for Christmas is what we're shooting for.
Where are you catching the ship?
Galveston, Texas.
And where does the ship return?
Galveston, Texas.
So it's a round trip. Okay, yep. Got it. And it lasts how many days?
Did any of your artists get hurt by the tornadoes and bad weather in Nashville? No,
it's pretty much most of the artists live down south, and this was north. So it was not too much. I had some people that had like a shed damaged or something like that. My bookkeeper, their house was okay, but they ended up down in the storm cellar.
Right.
Well, when was the CMAs this year?
When are they?
Yeah.
Well, they were 1st of November. And next year, they're going to be the 12th or 13th of November.
So how did you do on that? Any of your artists make CMAs?
Yeah, I had a few of them that did okay.
Good. Excellent. Don't mention any names. Don't do any name dropping here on this show. Okay. We don't need any name dropping. We don't need no stinking badges here. You know, that's all I could say. Anyway, let's say goodbye to everybody on social media, and we can talk freely more about things that, you know, we just don't want people to know out there. But you can be part of this if you like. Remember to share the show. Remember to click the thumbs up. We're everywhere you can find. I think we're going to be streaming on Instagram next week. So that'll be exciting. Oh, Lord. Oh, man. No? You don't like it?
What are we going to do? Are you going to be juggling, Jan? Why you talk?
I don't know. I just have this feeling that I have a feeling that what we say has merit and people can learn from us about things that they would like to do in their own lives. And basically we'll make them feel good about themselves.
Because, well, next week is a few days before Christmas and almost, is it the termination of Hanukkah?
Hanukkah's over now, and Christmas is, well, the next week is the 20th, so Christmas will be, there'll be 5 shopping days left before Christmas, or 4 shopping days before Christmas, unless you're where I am, then there's only 3 shopping days before Christmas, but then again, this is a Buddhist country, so what do they care about Christmas, you know?
They play it up big time in Bangkok, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically, yeah, it is for the Western world. But, you know, and we have a Christmas tree here. Not Bo that really understands the fact of what it really signifies other than the holiday season. And I think that's more than enough. It's a time of goodwill towards man. And that is what
and
we should
family.
Be. And family. That's right.
And dogs.
So with that in mind, remember, you make it happen. You make it happen. You make it happen. You make it happen. Hold your dogs close.
In Tampa. And so we're going to go out to Bird Steakhouse and have a good time.
Yes. Hold your pets close and your loved ones even closer. There you go. How do you like that, Kurt? Good. Well, with that in mind, remember, you make it happen. Have a great week. Stay safe and healthy. We'll see you again next week for our 187th meeting. And until then, you know what I said. Make it happen. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And we'll see you again next week. Bye for everybody.
Bye.
And we are off the air.